if we don't listen when He speaks to us, and of course God can speak to you many ways. He can speak to you directly out of His Word when you're reading the Bible. He can speak to you out of another man's voice, another woman. Walk right up to you and say something to you. In fact, when I was over here, there was a young man, 34 years old, that had a master's degree from the seminary, and a Baptist seminary, and he was our Baptist preacher over at Justin. And when he got ready to leave here, after he'd been here a few years, I was wishing him well and all that stuff. And he said, "Thurman, I've never met a prophet in the Baptist church." But he said, "You're the closest thing to it I've ever seen." I said, "Well, I'm not a prophet." I said, "What do you mean by that?" He said, "You have no idea how many times I'm praying, God, what do I need to preach on? What subject do you want me to cover?" And said, "You just kind of walk up to me as you start out and shake my hand and say, 'Good message today, Brother Martin, but it sure would be nice if you preached on this sometime in the very near future.'" And he said, "That was already in the back of my mind." And then he said, "When you said it," he said, I just knew there's God talking to me." Well, see, if you're tuned in to God, who lives in you? God. Is that right? The Holy Spirit, Jesus, lives in you. And if you'll make yourself available, He will speak His Word right out of your mouth. Have you ever had words come out of your mouth that glorified God that you think, "Where did that come from?" I mean, that is God, wasn't it, brother? He had a word for somebody, and you walk up, patted somebody on the shoulder, and said something, you think, "Good grief, where'd that come from?" Well, it was the Lord, and He was telling somebody something. But He used your mouth and your voice to get it done. But He said God speaks once, twice, and then not only will He speak through His Word, not only will He speak out of your mouth, but He'll speak, somebody will send you an email, a letter, or whatever. But He'll try His best to get through to you, and you wouldn't listen. So He says, then He sends you a dream. Now, does everybody have dreams? Everybody has dreams. Sometimes your dreams are sweet, and sometimes your dreams are terrifying. Is that right? Wow. Look what He says. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, in slumbering upon the bed. Who's sending this? God is. Okay, the next verse. Then He opens the ears of men, and He sealeth their instructions, that He may withdraw man from his purpose, from man's purpose, and hide pride from man. Now, only a few healing schools back, for the first time in my life, I saw what happened to Hezekiah. I mean, I'm reading there in the Kings and Chronicles and everything about Hezekiah's a good king. He served God. He did what was right. And I'm reading along there. And now then, I mean, King Sennacherib came over and God sent angels or an angel and killed all 185,000 of his soldiers. And all kinds of good things happened. And after that, all kinds of gifts and everything was sent to Jerusalem, to the Lord, and to Hezekiah. And it said, and Hezekiah's pride rose up in him. Oh, I'm somebody. Look what I did. And then the next statement says, and during this time, Hezekiah became deathly sick. But what? Here he is, a good king. And now he's sick. Okay, Lord, this shoots a bullet hole in my theory. Sin brings forth sickness and disease. I got to go back and find out what caused Hezekiah sick. Well, right there it was. Pride. When the pride rose up in him, God didn't like it and He struck him sick. Near unto death. Wow. How old was he? 40. He repented and got right with God, and God only gave him how many more years? 15. So he was still only 55 when he died. Now, hey, for you and me, that sounds pretty young, don't it? Me and you both several years older than 55. And we wasn't ready to go home at 55, was we? Absolutely not. Then he opens the ears of men, seals their instructions, that he may withdraw man from his purpose and hide pride from man. 18 and 19. He keeps back his soul from the pit, or from hell, and his life from perishing by the sword. In other words, if man don't listen, he's destined for the pit, or hell, and his life, he's going to be killed by the sword. It says, He is chastened also with pain. Now, wait a minute. This is the part I really don't like. You know, there's only one thing I hate worse than pain. More pain. I don't like pain. Do you, brother? Do you like pain in your body? Eric, do you like pain when your body hurts? No, I don't like it either. Well, he says, now he talks to us, and he does all these things. He gives us dreams and visions and all these things. What did he say he's trying to do? Save us from death. Save us from dying. But we don't listen. We just keep on doing what we're doing. So he said in verse 19, man is chastened also with pain upon his bed, and the multitude of his bones with strong pain. I really don't like that. Do you? Now, why did God do this to man? Because of sin. Because of sin. Verse 20 and 21. Let's go on here a little bit. So that his life abhorreth bread, and his soul even dainty meat. In other words, have you ever been to a hospital with a man that's hurting? He's got cancer. He's wasting away. And you bring in the most dainty morsels of meat that's so good, or food or whatever it is, and ask him, do you want something to eat? And he says, oh, that don't even look good. I don't want nothing to eat. You seen people like that? Isn't that sad? His flesh is consumed away, that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. You know, just a few weeks ago, a man called me. And he said, Thurman, I've got a good friend over here in Denton in the hospital. He said he's been comatose for 6 weeks. They say he ain't going to make it. He said, would you go over there and pray for him with me? And this man is a member of Kenneth Copeland's church. He goes to church. Not the sick man, but the man that called me. I said, sure, I'll be happy to go with you. So I went out to meet him, and I said, now before we go talk to this man, since he's comatose, I got to know how well you know him. He said, I know him well. Been a friend of mine for years. I said, tell me what his sin is. He said, what makes you think he's living in sin? I said, because he's in the hospital comatose. In other words, the deep pain has come upon him, hadn't it, Eric? And I said, tell me about his sin. So he began to tell me about how his old high school flame had come back into town, and how him and her had been running around together, and they were doing things they ain't supposed to be doing. Now, you reckon God had spoken to him by somebody else before now? Yeah. You reckon he'd sent some dreams and visions to terrify him? Yeah. Had he listened? No. So what was the last thing? He sent this deep pain and suffering in his body, and he still didn't listen. So now then, he's comatose. And the doctor says he ain't going to get well. So I said, the very first thing we got, this man has sin in his life. He said, I know that, Thurman. I know. He said, I go to church and I read the Bible. I know this man has got sin in his life. I said, here he is laying in the hospital, comatose. And the doctor says he's going to die. I said, so since he's comatose, he cannot repent of his sins. Is that true? I said, so now, Phil, we're going to hold that place right there in Job 33:21, but we're going to go from here right now at this point to John 20:23. John 20:23. I'm going to show you what you have to know in a case like this to get somebody healed. If this man's comatose. John 20:23. Now, look at this. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Do you think, as a Christian, with Jesus in you, that you can confess somebody's sins for them and God will forgive them their sins because you remitted their sin? Yes. Do you really believe that verse? Now, that's kind of a mouthful, isn't it? I mean, the average person don't believe that. In fact, I even had a young woman possessed by a demon, many demons. I was sitting across the table from one day, and this woman had a gnarling in her stomach, and she couldn't been to doctors for a year and a half now, and she could not get healed. And this pain had been there for a year and a half. And so she drove hours to sit down and talk with me one day. And so I did. And I told her, I said, honey, first thing you got to do is repent of every sin. She said, Mr. Scrivener, I have every sin I know of repented of. Every sin. I said, you married? Oh, yeah. I said, you and your husband get along fine? Oh, yeah. I said, you got any children? You got four. And I said, you homeschool them? Oh, yeah. She said, and she, boy, she, her Bible was marked up all over from cover to cover. That woman was in the book. And she said she'd repented. I said, okay, then I'm going to cast this demon out of you. And so she agreed she had one. And so I went to cast the demon out of her, and the demon manifested. And he got wild. And we were in a public place, and she started screaming foul words. Beautiful, precious little woman. Christian woman. And foul words are coming out of her mouth. You know, that's not normal. A nice little Christian woman you spent an hour and a half with that wouldn't even think about saying a dirty word. And all of a sudden she's cursing you and spitting out foul obscenities at you. Hey, that ain't her. That's the devil in her. And I commanded the devil to come out. And he said, I ain't coming out. He said, I got legal right to be here. I said, okay. I said she'd repented of every sin, so what is the legal right? And so he spoke to me and he said, this stupid, whew, I wouldn't even begin to say the words that he called her. She let me in 24 years ago when she joined the Rainbow Girls. That's a ministry of the women off of the Masonic Lodge, which is totally against God's Word. And, you know, if you happen to be a Mason, you know, man, you got a problem. You know, you have cursed yourself and your whole family. Now, who knows where the demons manifest? Who knows where they manifest? This demon, this herd of demons had come into this woman 24 years ago, and she's only having the problem for the last year and a half. Does that tell you something?
Very well seated in.
Yeah. And so I said, well, I said, no problem. I'll call her back up, and I'll have her repent for joining the Rainbow Girls. And this demon spoke out of her mouth and did this. I am so interwoven in her brain. It will be impossible for her to ever repent of that sin.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website. Or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.